Hello and welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin and I am here with Dylan Shiverer.
Hey, Billy. I just posted a video on the TFM Instagram account that's got my day started just on the right foot. It's two hot blondes catfighting on an intramural field. There's some rolling around, some hair pulling. Go check that out.
It's good to know that things are going well for you.
That's how I want to start every single day.
Also, Dan Regester.
What's up?
I said both of your names correctly today.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
Should we run it back?
Maybe we should just start over.
Nah,
let's just keep going. Okay. We're going to talk about sports today. We've got some very important sporting topics, such as the Big Three Basketball League. That's the thing I'm most excited to talk about.
I learned about this 10 minutes ago, by the way.
Well, that's why we're leading with it.
Yeah, we're going to lead with it because we don't know anything about it. And then we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs.
Maybe the NHL.
The real basketball league, as some might call it, compared to the Big Three League. Some might reverse that. Some might think that the Big Three League is the one that really matters, and the NBA is just a sideshow.
That might be where I'm leaning towards.
Yeah.
Because we all know how the NBA is going to end. It's going to be Warriors.
Probably.
Cavs. Yeah.
And then, yeah, we could talk about hockey. I've been watching hockey. That shit is fucking insane. But first, let's talk about Man Outfitters at manoutfitters.com. This is our premier menswear, online menswear store, Man Outfitters, where you can go buy great brands like Patagonia, Southern Marsh, Cole Haan, Ruka, Sperry, and a lot more. We've got an app in the iTunes and Android stores if you want to download that Man Outfitters app. That's the best shopping experience you can have, I would say, on your mobile device. Using the code BACKDOOR, you can get 10% off your whole order at Man Outfitters, which is huge because with spring coming, is it officially spring now?
Yes.
We're in spring, and then summer's coming after that. You need things like great swimsuits and Yeti Ramblers, which is, you want to explain to the people what a Yeti Rambler is?
It's a tumbler, but it's made out of metal. It's a Yeti product.
It holds liquids.
It holds liquid. There's a lid on it.
Presumably liquids that you consume.
You can put ice in it and just throw it outside in the summer heat, and then you come back like 4 years later and the ice will be still there.
You know what I've heard is that there's actually, you can fill it with ice and water, or you know, Everclear, whatever you drunk.
Don't do that, but you can.
And put it out in the sun, come back 4 hours later, there will actually be more ice than there was when you put it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they reproduce, the ice fuck each other inside of your Yeti Rambler.
Really?
I had a lot of coffee this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, but with pool, beach, lake season coming up, hitmanoutfitters.com, stock up on swimsuits and great clothes. And if you're a woman and you don't wear men's clothes, buy some stuff for your dad or your boyfriend or your uncle.
Have you seen the Grillmaster giveaway we're doing?
No, tell me about that.
Holy shit. Well, I don't have the list of stuff in front of me. So Man Outfitters is doing this Grillmaster giveaway.
It's called the Man Outfitters Grillmaster Giveaway.
Yeah, that's what it's called. And basically, if you sign up, and all you have to do is give them your email address, so you're on their mailing list. And once you give them your email address, you're
entered into this contest.
You're eligible to win this package of stuff that's just unbelievable.
It's premium sticks.
We can list it all.
And it's premium Yeti gear and premium cast iron grill from Lodge.
There are two winners, okay? This is what you get. Each winner gets this. A Yeti Tundra 45, which is a cooler.
Okay.
Five Rambler 30s.
You need five.
Five.
You need five, though.
And those are expensive.
But then if that's not enough, you get a 64-ounce Rambler bottle.
A 64-ounce Rambler bottle, which is, it has a handle on it. It's just a huge jug, basically. You get two Tomahawk ribeyes.
Fuck, dude, this is a
that's
lot.
That's the ribeye you want.
Those are it some is.
Big two porterhouses, four hanger steaks, four filet mignons, 24 brisket short rib burgers. Holy shit.
And all this meat comes from Butchery Fresh.
Butchery Fresh, yes.
And of course,
and
a Lodge Sportsman Grill.
A Lodge Sportsman Grill.
All this meat.
This is a retail value total of like $45 million. And
I
you
think
get
that's
it.
True.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah. So go to manoutfitters.com, type your email into the Man Outfitters Grillmaster giveaway to be entered. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. Download our apps in the iTunes and Android stores. Shop on Man Outfitters. Use the code BACKDOOR to get 10% off your whole order and support us here at Grand X. And you'll continue to get more delicious sports talk from us if you do so.
Also just because you love us.
Yes. All right. Now moving on to sports. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the Big Three. For those who are unfamiliar with the Big Three, Dan, why don't you take a wildly inaccurate stab at explaining what exactly this is?
It's Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball league for retired basketball players. So essentially, what I see it as, the Champions Tour of basketball.
A terrible analogy, but but okay. It is Ice Cube's, he has created a league. It feels like somebody has tried this before. But I don't know if they have.
No, I think you're remembering Slam Ball, which is completely different. Because this is legitimate
Man,
basketball.
Man, do I miss Slam Ball.
I wouldn't say it's legitimate basketball. It's 3-on-3.
Well, it's also half court, too. But it's as legitimate.
And there's a four-point shot.
It's as legitimate as, like, 45-year-old so
basketball. What was that, like, Rock and Jock when they had, like, the 40-point shot?
Yeah, that was fucking
MTV.
Awesome.
I love that show.
So it's illegitimate basketball. Let's call it that. There are 8 teams. I'm going to read these team names because they're fantastic. All right, first of all,
some
I hope everybody's
they're
clear.
They're all 3 related.
Ice Cube. Ice Cube, the former rapper, is the man who's apparently put this whole thing on. I don't know why it's Ice Cube, why this was his idea, but this is what he's doing. Three's Company, Three-Headed Monsters, Ghost Ballers.
Best
which,
name, yeah.
That's by far the best
name.
Yeah,
I would want to be a Ghost Baller for sure.
Ball Hogs, Tri-State, that's terrible. Power,
just Power,
Killer Threes, and Trilogy. Which
where would these games take place?
I hope it like in
like
Rutgers
high school gyms.
Yeah, I hope it's Rutgers.
No, they're
too.
Playing at NBA arenas. They're going to tour across because I know they're playing in Dallas at the
AAC. Legitimacy.
So they're going to tour across America, and all the teams will play. There will be 4 games played every week.
It's a fucking
I think
there will
be
show.
A concert playing with it, too, and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they're going to get, like, Nickelback to open up, and then these guys come out there and just...
They're definitely going to have Nickelback
but they have,
open up for these
games. They have
games.
Names that you're definitely going to recognize.
Yeah, this is the fucked up part. So
especially the captains.
They might run out Chamillionaire or Chingy, but they're not running out Nickelback.
First of all, I think Chingy's dead, and Chamillionaire is way too busy... pretending to be like an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley to come out here and sing Riding Dirty for anybody. All right. So this is the crazy thing. There's guys in this league that you would expect. Guys like Brian Scalabrine, Kwame Brown, one of the all-time NBA busts, which is very funny to me that they convinced him to do this.
Mike Bibby.
Yes. I mean, we've got...
Corey Maggette.
Yeah, there's guys that you're like, okay, I see that. Bonzi Wells is
Catino
a guy.
Catino Mobley.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, you don't have anything else going on. I could see that. Mike James is out there. A lot of former
the
Rockets.
The glove is coaching the Three-Headed Monsters.
I mean, it's mostly former Rockets, if we're being real, which is very odd. There's like 9 of them. Mucci Norris, Catino Mobley, Clyde Drexler is coaching one of the teams. So these are guys that you're like, all right, yeah, I get it. I understand why you're out there. But then there are guys like Chauncey Billups, where I'm like, what the fuck? Chauncey, what are you doing? You're a Hall of Famer, probably. You're not that old. You've got a good commentator gig. Like, you don't need the money. Is it just so he can run all these guys?
It's Ball's life. Like, he just wants a ball. Wants to play some basketball.
It's just, this is humiliating, though. This
no.
is a circus.
No, it's not.
It's like,
yes,
it's,
it is.
This is the circus.
I would be embarrassed.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Chauncey Billups to go out there and play basketball with.
But these are guys, they just want to play basketball. You know they're not getting paid much, right?
They're probably
not
even getting paid.
They have to.
There's
be
no
paid.
Way they're getting paid much.
The they thing is, though, this is like a though. More legitimate celebrity all-star game.
We don't know yet. But like you said, it's 3-on-3 and it's half court. So it's not a more legitimate anything.
No, but like you could see Chauncey playing in the celebrity all-star game with like, I don't know. Kevin Hart.
If you could buy stock in the Big Three League, Dan would buy all of it.
All of it.
He's all in.
I mean, mainly because Allen Iverson.
Sell.
Yeah, I'm not touching
Dude,
it.
Dude, they got Dr. J to coach it. He's coaching Tri-State.
And Clyde the Glide.
With Jermaine O'Neal.
Now,
Mike James.
I got to say, I'm wearing a Clyde Drexler jersey right now as we speak. I love Clyde. Rockets legend, Portland Trailblazers legend. One of the worst commentators ever. And maybe a little touched. He is not a bright man. He is he's an idiot. I'm just going to come out and say.
Is he?
Dude, it is bad. Listening to him commentate on games is quite painful. I've probably watched like, I don't know, like 300 Rockets games that he was commentating on. He says the exact same thing every single game. The exact same things because that's all he's got, man. And again, nothing but love for Clyde, but oh my God, I did not realize that he is not a bright man.
Where can I get a Ghostballers jersey? Jersey. I would prefer a jersey.
That's a question I would like the answer to.
There's got
to
be a website.
I would like a Ghostballers jersey. Now, if you're first of all, I'm looking at this. There's some power rankings here that USA Today did, which, oh my God, USA Today, what are you doing? They've ranked all eight teams.
You got to think Trilogy is up there.
They do you?
Yeah.
Do you have to think
it
that?
It looks like a strong squad.
Kenny well, the Martin. Ghostballers are ranked dead fucking last.
Rashad McCants.
Oh, damn.
Now, I'm going to read their roster to you. They got Mike Bibby, Ricky Davis, Mo Evans, Marcus Banks, and Ivan Johnson, and they're coached by George Gervin. Spurs great George Gervin is out there coaching the Ghostballers.
By the way, Micah found a website that sells
jerseys
for all the teams.
Well, they don't have. I need a Mike Bibby Ghostballers jersey right now. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell a little story about Mike Bibby. One time I was in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Casino. Have I told this story on the podcast before?
I don't think so.
No. Okay, well, I was at the Atlantis Casino in the Bahamas. I was like 18 years old. And I was at a bar ordering a drink, because you can do that there. And I look over, and Mike Bibby, he's still in the league at this point. It's probably 2003, maybe? I don't know, 4? He's sitting at a table. He's with two girls that are both extremely blonde and extremely hot and possibly escorts. I don't know what the situation was there, but it's just him. It's not like he's with his boys or anything. Just Mike Bibby with these two girls sitting at a table, and we're like, fuck, man, it's Mike Bibby. Like, oh, I want to get a picture with him. I want to get an autograph. And I think one of my buddies actually did get a photo with him. But fast forward a couple hours, I'm sitting at a blackjack table, and there's this big commotion that happens. Everybody's like, what's going on? Like, dealers are looking over to try to figure out what's going on. All the security has rushed over to this area, like, by the slot machines. Something is clearly taking place. A few minutes go by, and, like, the pit boss walks by and explains it to our dealer. And we ask our dealer, like, what happened? He's like, yeah, some guy hit on one of Mike Bibby's girls, so Bibby just dropped him. So Mike Bibby knocked some guy out cold at the Atlantis. And
that's not the move.
And they threw the other guy out and let Bibby stay.
Oh, of course, you have to.
Which is just funny, the idea behind that. But anyway, so I have to get a Mike Bibby Ghostballers jersey.
I've been to, if you're wondering where, you remember former basketball player Damon Jones?
Like sure.
3-point guy? If you want to find him, go to the Bellagio Casino and go to the craps tables. I've been there on 3 separate occasions, like 3 separate trips, and he was at the same table.
Just
each
there.
Time. He's just there. So he's there right now, I'm sure. So go find him.
The other guy I've seen gambling is Patrick Ewing. But
yeah.
Dude, he was at I think it was blackjack.
That's a large
and
American.
He has two dudes stand behind him like big bodyguards to make sure nobody can fuck with him while he's gambling. It's crazy.
Jeez.
So you can't go up and be like, Pat, or like chunk the deuce at him. There's like two guys who will kill you with their eyes.
Is that your move? You chunk the deuce at famous people?
I go,
hey, Pat.
Hey, Pat. Deuces.
Georgetown's new coach.
Yeah. Good for him.
That's right.
But yeah, they paid him a lot.
Yeah. No. I don't think he's never been a head coach. He's just been an assistant in the NBA for a few years.
Dude, he's Patrick Ewing, though.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Here's the thing that surprises me about this league, though. Where's Jason Williams?
That's a good question. I don't know. We need white chocolate in here.
Like, I still see him running point at, like, a rec league or just pick up ball at the Y. I see videos of that every now and then. How is he not down for this league?
I feel like I recently saw ESPN run, like, a greatest Jason Williams passes segment or something. Dude, that elbow, behind-the-back elbow pass is still one of the coldest things I've ever seen.
The guy had handles, man.
He did. He was great. He was in the era of, like, the NBA has changed a lot.
Did you ever see highlights
out there
from him in high school when he was teammates with Randy Moss?
No.
They were on the same high school team. He just throw it up to Randy Moss. It's pretty electric. You got to watch that.
Ugh. Any other commentary on the Big Three that you would like to share? This is the time.
Yeah.
Can we watch it on TV ever? Or how do
we
find this?
I'm sure it'll be on TV.
It's going to be pre-recorded, I think. Yeah. So it's
Monday nights. Pre-recorded.
After the NBA finals.
Pre-recorded?
So it's going to be recorded on the weekends, and I think they're going to air it
on
Sunday.
Oh, come on, man. We can't even gamble on this shit?
Yeah, it sucks.
Maybe you can't. You just can't watch it live.
I thought that was like the thing I was most excited about, is betting on these games. Now I can't even bet on them? This is some shit.
I do like how they went head-to-head against the NFL draft this weekend with their own draft.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I kept hearing about. That's the reason it's been in the news so much, is the draft happened. There was a draft. The big three draft.
And there was people that were eligible that didn't get drafted. Like Steve Francis.
Steve Francis, man.
Poor Steve Francis.
So you get to declare for the big three?
Yeah, you got to declare. You gotta have your eligibility, man. Steve Francis, get help.
Rashad McCants apparently was the number one overall pick. Is that right? Dan?
Was he?
Yeah, I think McCants was the first overall pick.
Oh,
but
shit.
What happens to these guys that didn't get picked? They're just in the free agent market. They just wait till somebody gets hurt.
Well,
but, they're older guys, so very good chance they blow out a knee or their back.
Let's just use Steve Francis as an example. I don't think much changed for him when somebody at the bar was like, "Hey, Steve, you didn't get drafted." And he was like, "What?" And then that was it. Then he just ordered another drink. He didn't even know this was taking place.
I swear, that guy was a superstar in the NBA, and the next year he like wasn't in the league.
And then the next year after that, he looked like he had aged 62 years.
What happened to him?
He just is. Drugs? I think he's got like a serious, serious drugs and drinking problem.
I love that Tracy McGrady, Steve Francis trade.
Dude, what's interesting is that McGrady, I mean, you can't even compare the two, but there's just guys who get out of the league and fall apart, and there's guys who thrive. And McGrady has thrived, has like a great career and kids and a family. And
wears a
like
lot of big suits.
Good social media game. He gets smaller suits now than he used to get. and then Steve Francis is just out there like he's a mess. I'll tell one story about Steve Francis. He uses a cleaners in Houston, which I will not name, that I happen to have connections to. And it's a delivery pickup cleaner. So they come pick up all your shit from your house, and they go dry clean it for you, and then they bring it back to you. And the person who was picking up Steve Francis's laundry said that his house is just a fucking, it's just you open the door, and it's just, the entire house is smoked out at all times. Like, which, I mean, that part's not bad. Like, smoke weed if you want to, but
smoke weed every day.
If you look like Stevie does now, you should probably stop smoking weed.
Or there's just strangers sitting on his couch, laying on the ground.
See, that's it's probably a Jesse in Breaking Bad situation
like
where it's just, yeah.
Oh, he looks like he's done some crystal meth in
his
day.
Looks fucking awful.
He's not aged well.
He looks like he's gonna die. And I hope he doesn't. Rockets legend Steve Francis.
Shouts to Stevie franchise.
Shouts to the franchise. Get well soon, son. Get help. Somebody get Stevie to go check in somewhere in Malibu or something.
Just get him on a roster.
Or get him on a big three roster. That's how you turn that fucking train around, man.
He played in like China for a long time too, didn't he?
Yeah, he got.
According to producer Micah, he was cut last year. That was Steph Marbury. Oh, it was Marbury. Okay. Oh, but where's Marbury? Marbury also undrafted in this league.
Yeah, but he is like mentally ill. All right, let's talk about real NBA. Because you know what? Before we do that, let's take a fucking break, and then we'll talk about the NBA. I need a second to collect myself. It's hard to go from big three to real.
A lot out of us.
To real basketball. I'm emotionally drained. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this, you probably enjoy podcasts. Well, guess what? We've got a podcast ourselves. I'm Dave. I'm here with Will and Dylan. We're Touching Base guys. Why don't you come join us? Be part of Touch Nation. It's a thing. It's sweeping the country and even the world.
I thought we were calling them Base Touchers.
Base Touchers, Touch Nation, Touchers, whatever you want to call yourself. We just want you to listen.
I thought it was DCO Nation, Deal Closes Only.
That's a whole different thing. It's a subset. It's hard to explain. You have to listen to pick up on this. Subscribe, give us 5 stars, leave us a review. Just give us a shot during your business. That's all we ask.
All right, let's talk NBA playoffs. The series we've got going now, we'll kick it off with the Celtics and the Wizards.
Two straight blown games by the Wizards.
All right, I don't know how they didn't win last night.
No.
I really don't know how they didn't cover. I had Wizards +5, and then fortunately, I live bet Boston +3.5 and Boston +4.5 on two separate occasions because that's just how I roll, which canceled out my Wizards bet. But holy shit, man, you got to get one of those games. You cannot be that close. They have no shot in this series now.
First game, they went up 16-0, lost that game by double digits. This game,
they had the lead late, though.
Yeah, they were up by 15 at some point in the third quarter.
And then Isaiah Thomas just went insane in the fourth quarter. So he had 29 points in the fourth quarter in overtime, many of which were just like, all right, so he's a little dude.
Yeah.
Right? And he's one of those guys where he's like defying physics, going up in the lane with these 6'8", 7-foot-tall monsters and somehow getting shots up. Right. I don't know how he gets them up, much less makes them go through the...
Because he's a 5'9", and he's a slasher, which just doesn't make sense.
Is he 5'9"?
Yeah.
Is he that little?
He might be smaller.
Dude, he's listed very 5'9". Little. At one point last night, John Wall was guarding him, and John Wall is a pretty good-sized point guard. John Wall looks like his significantly older brother that's just about to beat the fuck out of him. Like, he's twice his size.
But John Wall did something that I think should happen to Isaiah Thomas all the time when he goes to the rack, is he sent the ball 10 rows in the stands.
Dude, John Wall had a few blocks last night where I was like, holy shit, I didn't John know Wall's he had great. That in him.
No, John Wall's probably top.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. He's definitely a top 10 player. He ran out of gas last night.
That's what
and,
happens.
And it was fucking over. The second that he put up a three where I was like, uh-oh, his legs are gone. And then it was done. There
because,
was no way they had no chance.
Brad Stevens realized you can't put Isaiah Thomas on John Wall.
No.
So they shifted him over to Otto Porter. And it's just been kind of like a team effort between Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley.
Shutting down John Wall.
And it seems like somehow like Bradley just owns John Wall on defense. I don't understand it. Because Wall's probably a top three ball handler in the league.
Yeah. Like him, Kyrie, maybe Isaiah Thomas.
But for whatever reason, like when he's going up against Avery Bradley, it seems like he's dribbling with like a Chinese finger trap on. And just like he gets pickpocketed every time.
Yeah, Avery Bradley's done a great job, man. But and that ball, Celtics up 2-0.
I mean, Beal. Where's Beal? Beal's been nowhere to be found.
Game two. Yeah, I think
he put up 14 last night. Not great.
I won't say. I'll take it back. I won't say the series is over, but Washington has got to win.
Yeah,
both at home.
They do.
Obviously,
the series isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. Remember, Boston was down 2-0 to Celtics.
Yeah.
Well,
the problem is just based on what I've seen,
and we wrote them off.
But based on what I've seen in the two games I've watched, I don't think Washington has enough to
beat
these guys.
They don't have enough depth off the bench. They have Brandon Jennings, who's just not very good.
Because if you're in a situation where your superstar gets gassed and everybody knows you're fucked just because that guy's gassed, then you're not going to make it in the NBA playoffs. You need more than that. And when John Wall got tired last night, it was over. And especially if your superstar gets gassed and for whatever reason Isaiah Thomas finds like this ridiculous burst of energy in every fourth quarter ever, you're screwed. Because their guy's going apeshit and your guy's, you know, lost his legs.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah's a defensive liability. And also, the biggest weakness the Celtics have is inside. You can probably just go inside like all day if you had some big guys. Like, the Cavs are going to run train on Boston with Tristan Thompson
and
Kevin Love.
Oh, God, I hope not.
They will. Because, like, Horford isn't really, he's not a great defender, honestly, inside.
No,
they just don't
he's
have
not.
Much. They just don't have much help inside, but They played the Bulls and they played Washington, and those are two teams that just don't really have much inside in the interior. Like Gortat, he'll get his early, but he runs out of gas pretty fast.
He also has the worst tattoos in sports.
He also doesn't look like a basketball player.
No, he looks like a Ukrainian butcher. That's
a butcher.
What he looks like.
I feel like if he was an athlete, he'd be one of those dudes that runs on logs in water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I hope Washington can make it a series, because right now it doesn't look good.
No.
Next matchup in the East is the Cavs and the Raptors. Cavs took game one.
Cavs in five.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Toronto might get one in Toronto, but, dude, they're too soft. Clippers of the East. Do we have to say anything else about the Raptors?
No,
haven't we already torn them up?
Yeah. Let's get to your series.
Yeah, Spurs-Rockets. So I went to game one in San Antonio on Monday, and I was pumped. Like, the second that the San Antonio series ended last week, I got on Ticketmaster and just, like, impulse bought two tickets. Took, like, an hour and a half to get to the game. It's not too bad, you know, from Austin to San Antonio. AT&T Center's surprisingly very easy to get into. What was weird is going to a playoff game in any sport, there's a lot of energy and excitement outside the stadium and going into the stadium. It was noticeably like silent.
It was bleak
outside. Not bleak. There was no like negativity to it. It was just odd. Like no noise, no music. They didn't have anything like set up to get the fans pumped up or whatever. Like just to throw out a random example, the Houston Texans NFL team have to pull out all the stops to try to get people to not kill themselves at the games. So there's like marching bands and fucking cheerleaders and guys in crazy costumes. Like the whole thing outside the stadium is a spectacle every week. And I know the NFL is different, so it's a weird example. But point being, there was nothing to make you think, you wouldn't even, if you just drove by the stadium or like walked by it even, you wouldn't even know anything was going on. It was weird. Hmm.
So it's one of two things. It's either like Spurs or the Spurs organization and fans like are just,
I think it's
so used to winning
that they just are like, eh.
Like another playoff game isn't that big of a deal to them. Or they realize the run's over.
Or, and that's definitely not it, but I think it might be some kind of tradition they have. And Spurs fans, if one of you can clarify for me if it's always like this or what the deal is, I was just surprised by that. It was very quiet. Now, the second they've got the intros and shit going inside, it gets very, very loud very quickly. But just weird to me that there's this strange, like,
eerie
silent
calmness.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, calm anticipation that it kind of freaked me out. I was like, am I walking into, like, a human sacrifice situation here? What the fuck is this? But all in all, Spurs fans were great, very cordial, considering the circumstances, because this game was over by halftime. The Rockets just... Here's the thing. The Rockets, in their first-round matchup against Oklahoma City, played like shit every single game.
Still 1-5.
Every single game. They won 4-1. But not a single game in that series did they play anywhere near what they're capable of. And I can confidently say that because I watched most of their games this year. They just didn't play well. They shot like ass.
Yeah, Harden shot like less than 30%, right?
I don't think so for this. Oh, for three, yes. Yeah. He was awful from three. But we just didn't look good. And finally, they had everything click in game one against the Spurs. And that was about as good as the Rockets can play, I would think. And they blew him out of the stadium. It was, you can't, they made 22 threes, the second most three-pointers ever made in a playoff game. And San Antonio just looked off. Like they were surprised that Houston came out the way they did. And which is odd for a Popovich-coached team to be caught by surprise. It was fucking shocking. Like, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
To see the Spurs get blown out like that was crazy. I mean, it was so awkward. I think for not just for me, because I was a Rockets fan wearing like a Rockets hat and a Rockets shirt in this stadium filled with Spurs fans. There are quite a bit of Rockets fans there. You know, it's in Texas. It's not that far from Houston. A lot of Houston transplants in San Antonio. But I think it was awkward for Spurs fans, too, because it was just like, what the fuck is this? They're not used to that.
I was telling y'all before we started recording that I kind of got the feeling that it was going to go poorly from the jump. Like in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Aldridge especially. But the Spurs, that they missed 4 or 5 just like point blank layup type shots. Parker missed a couple of those little 3 foot runners that he does. Missed a couple of those. Meanwhile, on the other end, you had guys like Ryan Anderson shooting from like 8 feet beyond the arc, just, you know, and they were making everything. And I was like, this is not going to be a good game for the Spurs.
We've dogged LaMarcus Aldridge on here before, but it was still my biggest takeaway from this game. And at one point I tweeted about
it. He's MIA.
Like, what the hell happened?
I don't know.
Because he used to be one of my players that I hated the most in the NBA because he would destroy the Rockets in the playoffs when he was on the Trailblazers. He averaged like 45 points in an entire playoff series that we lost to them at one year, like 2012 or something. He was a monster.
Maybe it's because he's not the guy on the team now.
It's Kawhi's team.
He was the guy, but they also had Damian Lillard. It wasn't like he was the only option on the team. Like, Damian Lillard can score the ball very, very well.
And maybe it's just defensive juggernaut Ryan Anderson shutting him down.
Dude, there was multiple points in the game that I was at where Aldridge was in the paint with everybody cleared out, Ryan Anderson guarding him, who cannot guard for shit, by the way. And LaMarcus would pass out of the paint. Like, instead of backing this guy down and getting an easy layup, he was like, I don't want to do this.
No confidence.
It was fucking bizarre. The guy behind me, one of these Spurs fans, was losing his mind. Like, by the end of the second quarter, I was a little concerned this guy might run down onto the court and, like, attack LaMarcus Aldridge.
If he doesn't find some kind of offense in this series, it's going to be over very quickly.
I don't get it. What his deal is, I really don't get it. And the thing is, it's not like this is new. He's been like this the whole time he's been in San Antonio. He's never really been a big piece of the puzzle. He's had a game here or there. But it's insane to me when you look at the Spurs right now, nobody is like, it's Kawhi and LaMarcus. Nobody says that. It's Kawhi and then a bunch of dudes who it's like, it should have been Kawhi and LaMarcus, but I have no idea what happened to him. It's weird to see a guy go from as effective as he was to, he just looks like he's in his own head. 4 points? He had 4 points? And he doesn't really get beat up all that badly. Like, those dudes on Inside the NBA should be trashing him, but they're not, so we're going to do it. I just don't get it. It's fucking crazy, but I loved being at the game. Obviously, I had the time of my life. I am not going to go back tonight because I couldn't get anybody to go with me.
I thought you already got a ticket. Are you selling it?
No, I didn't get
tickets. You couldn't get your wife to go back?
She's got some shit she has to do, so I would have had to go alone, and I'm not going to go alone.
Yeah, that's weird.
Plus, there's no way in hell it goes as well as game one did. I mean, I kind of just want to watch from the comfort of my couch, you know?
I'm curious what the line is for tonight.
It's the same as the first game.
What?
I don't think Vegas knows what to do.
So Houston, what, plus five?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like plus five or plus six. And
people still think San Antonio is San Antonio.
Well, they are. And I mean, dude, come on, let's be real. There's no way that happens again in this series. And I think
that, well, not that kind of ass beating, but
no.
I don't think San Antonio has a shot in this series.
I don't think they do either, but only because
the wheels are
I thought
off.
They did before game one. No, I don't.
Yeah. No, I think to take a beating like that and give the Rockets shooters the confidence that they're now going to have rolling into game two, and things got really chippy, man. The Spurs fucked up in this way. With a game like that, you get your fucking third string guys in there, and you just get the hell out of that game with no drama. Try not to give the other team anything that they can carry into game two, because once you... If you pound somebody game one, it's really hard to come out game two and get as the winning team and have your energy
up. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, we already won this one on the road. Like, we beat the fuck out of them. Like, there's just a lot. It's harder to get your energy up. But they put Deadman in there, and he started trying to fight people and headbutt people and shit. And they gave the Rockets something to use as fuel for this next game. You don't want to give Patrick Beverley shit to get hyped up about, man.
Isn't there another school of thought on that? Like Simmons, I forgot his first name. What's his first name, Micah?
Bill Simmons?
No, the guy for San
Antonio.
Jonathan
Simmons.
Jonathan Simmons. He got in there, and he was kind of throwing his body around a little bit.
Now, that's great.
On Harden, and kind of just getting in, I don't know if he's getting in the dome a little bit, but just letting him know that, hey, we're still here. You still got to play least three more games against us.
The thing is that they crossed, that's great. I do agree with that. Like, Jonathan Simmons getting in there and being like, look, this is not fucking, this is going to be a long series.
Yeah.
You guys are going to see more of us. That's good. But when it gets to the point where there's technical fouls and people being ejected and shit, and what, I think it was either Jonathan Simmons or Deadman. It was one of the two. I can't remember which one because they look very similar from 400 rows up where I was. but he put his head down into Harden's forehead and was kind of just like having this trash-talking moment with him when Nene reached across and like grabbed him by the throat and pushed him off and got ejected for it. That's the thing you don't want to do. Because now it's like, regardless of how innocent that may have been, you give guys like Patrick Beverley the fuel to be like, they came after our star player. We don't take that kind of disrespect. Like, all the shit that athletes use to get hyped up for games like this.
Also, where did this come from with Nene? He's playing out of his mind.
I don't know. I think he classic veteran move, just kind of took it easy all season. And now he's like, all right, time to put some energy. He's been fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's been the second best player on our team. Like, for real. Nene. What the hell? I love that he looks like a voodoo witch doctor. Like a 62-year-old voodoo witch doctor. I love him. Had no idea. You know his last name is Hilario?
Yeah.
Who?
Nene Hilario.
Wait,
what an incredible name.
His last name is Nene.
Nope.
No.
That's his first name. He's Brazilian, so they put it on the back of his jersey, and his last name is Hilario.
That's Hilarios.
Somebody had to do it. Yeah, I fully expect the Spurs to come out and win tonight and make it a series. I mean, I'm confident this thing is going to seven.
No.
I think it is.
I don't think so.
I think Ross, it's either five or six.
Can I ask you a gambling question?
Yeah.
As the biggest NBA bettor in this room, do you subscribe to the zigzag theory where you sort of bet the opposite team in each game of the series, expecting rebound? This is sort of the big Vegas basketball mark.
I have never done that.
Wait, explain the theory.
All right, so like
I don't quite
the Rockets covered game one, clearly. So you would bet the Spurs game too,
okay,
thinking they're gonna that the momentum is gonna kind of swing back and forth, you know? And I understand that school of thought. I think you can apply that probably into when you're considering when you're weighing the lines on a game. Like, all right, this is what happened in game one, the previous game. Here's how that's gonna affect what I think is gonna happen in game two. But I'm not going out there and blindly betting zigzagging. Like, that's fucking crazy. There's no way that I would. I'm not betting the Spurs. Even if I was a Spurs fan tonight, I'm not putting my money behind that shit.
Tonight's line is baffling to me.
It's the same as it was game one. I mean,
I know, but then we saw what happened game one.
How are you supposed to move it? Like, if you're, I don't know how the guys in Vegas do what they do. They're geniuses and they get paid a lot more money than I do. I don't know why they do what they do, but how are you supposed to react to that game one? They can't make the line 10.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mom puts money on that if it's 10. Everybody puts money on the Rockets plus 10. If the Rockets were plus 10 tonight, which is what you'd pretty much have to adjust it to if you were going to base it on game one, I would put everything.
No, you mean minus 10. You mean minus 10.
Why would the Rockets get 10?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, okay, let's say.
Right. That's a crazy line, too. But closer to a pick 'em, I would say. Maybe Rockets minus 2. I don't know. That's where I would put it.
Then I'm putting everything I own on the Spurs. That's fucking.
I don't see how the Spurs can win.
See, I think it's just Vegas is. Put like they still factor in Popovich and just him trying to like make adjustments and like the Spurs still being the Spurs, but I don't think they've caught up. I think they just need to realize Spurs aren't
the Rockets.
Spurs
didn't just win that game; they demoralized.
Dude,
the Spurs.
When we were up 36 at one point, I was still just sitting there like, "All right." Every time we'd put up a bad shot, I was like, "You fucking idiots! This is the Spurs."
Because you still thought they could come back. Like at halftime, when you're up like 30 or 40, you're still
dude,
a little nervous, right?
No part of me was like, "Oh, this is over." No part of me until we hit about 38 or we were up 38 or 39 or something. That's when I was like, "All right, this is fucking done. There's no way they come back from this. If they do, my body will not leave this stadium. I will be hanging from the rafters. They will come find my corpse."
I'm still ready for my boy Patty Mills to make some noise in this series.
And he will. That's the thing you got to remember. He made a three at one point. He never had a chance to make a difference in game one, but he's one of those guys that it's like, I'm terrified of him.
Yeah, he's streaky.
He catches fire, and the next thing you know, he's hit 8 3-pointers, and he's...
He's got the best name, too.
I don't know, man. I'm, you know, as biased as I am and as emotionally invested as I am in this series, I'm just going to bet Rockets every game, but... I just don't know what to make of the line or what the hell to take away from game one. My advice would just be to stay away from game two entirely until you can get a better feel for what's going on in this series. Moving on from Rocket Spurs, Golden State at the Utah Jazz. This is...
Well, not yet. That's game 3-4, but...
What?
You said at the Jazz.
Golden State versus the Utah Jazz.
Right.
Sorry, Dan. Didn't mean to confuse you. We've seen one game. It happened last night, Tuesday night. I thought part of me wanted to believe that Utah's defense could make this semi-interesting. That is not the case.
The thing is, the Jazz are good, too.
They're a good team.
They're a good team.
They really are. They're quite good. But they're not even close to good enough to beat the fucking Warriors.
Golden State's just on another level.
I mean, they might, maybe... If they play out of their minds, might get one
still,
game this season.
They might steal game 3 or 4.
That highlight last night, Steph Curry, what he did to, what's
dude.
His name?
Gobert.
He spun him around twice in one sequence.
The thing, but he didn't have to do the second time.
No.
He could have just blown past him on the first one.
It was over.
He's like, yeah, you know
that's
what?
Not really fair, though.
No, it's not fair. Of course it's not fair.
Like,
that's not the point. A, what are you doing out there, Rudy? What are you doing, bro? Then B...
He's got
once,
a bum foot,
once
too.
Once you've been spun once, you go, oh, all right, and you let that man go. You're 4 feet away from the play. Just stay over there. Don't reach back in. Don't go for it again. It's over for you, Rudy. He gets spun around again. I was like, oh,
that
my God,
fun.
You fucking idiot. That's going to be on every highlight. Just unnecessary, man. There was no way.
That's when you fake an injury. You just pull up like, I can't go.
Yeah, just fall down towards the sideline. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm out of the play. Oh, yeah, that was bad. But, they can't. They don't have anywhere near the firepower to even stay in one of these games.
No, I mean, George Hill ain't going to put up 40.
No, he's not. George Hill going to put up 30 based on what we saw last night.
No.
I mean, there was a couple points where the Jazz got it back down to like a 9-point, 10-point game, and I was like, dude, they're keeping it. They're staying in this. But it was like watching
they got it within 6, I think, in the third quarter, and then you blinked, and Golden State was up by 20.
Yeah. It was like watching a an 18-year-old pick on his 10-year-old little brother by just putting his hand on his forehead and holding him at arm's reach while the kid tries to run and swing at him, and he can't do anything about it. That's what it was like. Like, they'd let him get back to within 6 or 9 or 10 or whatever, and you're like, oh, we got a game here, and then they'd go on a 9-0 run again.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't have anywhere near the firepower.
Like,
to keep
they could get
guys.
One in Salt Lake City if Golden State rest Durant for a game, or like the guys just decide not to show up.
Yeah, if
night.
Golden State just has one of those games where they're like, this series is a joke, yeah. and they don't show up for one game,
yeah.
then they might get one. But I think they're going to get swept. I don't see how they could possibly win a game. But I hope to God that I'm wrong, because the odds are, if the Rockets find a way to beat the Spurs, I would like a semi-tired Golden State team. Like, please, God, do something to slow down this train. But I don't think anybody can. There's just too many guys.
Yeah, too many guys. Too many scorers.
It's too many guys. Fuck me. they're running out there, you know. It's fucked up because Steve Kerr, or in this case.
Well, it's Mike Brown now.
Mike Brown.
So, actually, there's hope.
Because of Mike
there's
Brown?
There's no hope because of Mike Brown.
You think
no,
he's that bad?
No, there's no hope.
He's
no.
that bad of a coach.
And here's the reason that normally I would agree, and I know you're joking, but normally I would agree. Mike Brown becoming the head coach in lieu of Steve Kerr's...
Like, Utah has the coaching advantage in this series because of Mike Brown.
Yeah, because Mike Brown's terrible. But
how does he?
Mike Brown's
how does he
basically
keep
just
jobs?
Going out there and executing the game plan that's already been developed by Steve Kerr. And these
right.
guys
yeah, Mike
already...
Mike Brown could just sit on the end of the bench and
right.
not even like stand
no,
up.
He doesn't have to do shit. He does absolutely
He'll
nothing.
Find a way to fuck something up.
No, he won't.
No, he won't. They
His
won't
team's
let him.
Too good.
They won't let him. Like, before
this team
he had the chance...
themselves.
Fucking Draymond Green would cold cock Mike Brown before he let him do anything even remotely stupid. And that's what's crazy, is you're watching these guys run their... It's like watching a hockey team bring out another line of dudes that are all fresh. You're like, oh, okay, now they're bringing in the third string. They've still got Klay Thompson out there. They've still got Draymond Green out there. Like... They can bench.
Well, their bench isn't that deep.
No, it's not that deep, but they have 4 superstars.
Right.
So they can have one guy who's...
And they have Iguodala off the bench.
Yeah. And they can always have one guy on the floor who's better than everyone on Utah's team.
Right.
That's the fucked up part. They can bench. Curry is better than everyone on their team. Durant is better than everyone on their team. Klay Thompson is better than everyone on their team. And Draymond Green, arguably, better than everyone on their team. So at any point... They can rest 3 guys and have one guy out there who's still better than everyone Utah has. That's when you're like, oh, this is over.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. And there's not very many teams who that argument can't be made for. It's really just the Cavs, maybe the Raptors, because they've got Lowry and DeRozan, but they're just...
No.
I just don't... I'm saying...
Right. I know what you're saying.
About having... Yeah. Anyway, this series is toast, and I'm...
It's toast.
I'm going to try to pretend this isn't that this like it sucks that the Spurs Rockets is like, "Hey, congratulations. You get to play the Warriors. Have fun."
I mean, you've been looking forward to this all year though. This is essentially your championship game, where your championship series is Golden State.
Well, no, I would argue that the championship series is right now versus San Antonio, because after this it's you're just signing your own death warrant.
You don't know, man. You don't know?
I don't know, but I'm pretty fucking sure.
Yeah, we're all pretty sure.
I'm pretty because I've seen this go down before.
Houston has the shooting, though, that can scare Golden State a little bit.
I will say the only other team in the league that is not named the Cleveland Cavaliers that has even a remote chance is the Rockets. But that I'm remote chance. They'd have to play out of
like
their minds for 65% straight games. Yeah. Best basketball they have. That's the only way in hell I don't see it happening. But... And like I said, I mean, we the first time the Warriors won the championship, we got to the Western Conference Finals, and it was like everybody knew it was over. Everybody. And that was, they've added Kevin Durant since then. What the fuck?
Like the second best player in the league.
I mean.
No big deal.
A lot of people would argue he's the first best player in the league. I saw this article yesterday about how the only person that can stop Steph Curry is Kevin Durant. It was in ESPN, the magazine. I didn't even read it because it was just... Yeah.
Is he even a good defender? He's not a good defender.
No, no, no. They're on the same team. The argument is that Durant being added is too much star power, overlapping, like taking away from what Curry... And it's true,
only one ball, Ross.
There's only one ball. That is correct. There is, in fact, only one ball on the court. But the thing is, that's...
I like that argument. I like when people are like, oh, are the Warriors better without Durant? No.
It's so stupid.
No.
It's so stupid. Like, what are you, fucking insane? Who in their right mind would be like, you know what? I don't think we want Durant. We've got a lot of star power already. The point is that you could the lineups they can throw out there are fucking crazy because they have all these guys.
They're like, oh, we actually miss Bogut. We need a rim protector. We'd rather have Bogut than Kevin Durant.
Than Kevin Durant, who, by the way, has gotten really, really good defensively now.
Yeah.
Because he's so long and he's put in the work. He is really scary on both sides of the ball. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. But, yeah, this ESPN, it's just at this point, NBA writers need something because this is
it's so predictable.
This is so predictable at this point that they have to write stuff like that. I get it. And as you know, I mean, we're all content guys in here, man. We're team content.
Sometimes the hot take biz is it's booming now.
And that was – go read this ESPN. First of all, I didn't even know ESPN the magazine existed still. But it does, and it's online.
But for how long?
I don't know, Dan. Enough about the NBA. Moving on to the NFL. Let's talk about the draft a little bit. NFL draft. I thought that was the most... No, I'm not a draft guy. I'm anti-draft.
I'm a draft guy.
I think the draft is bullshit.
I think it's fun.
Do you like it on primetime or do you like it on the weekends?
I don't care.
They moved it to Thursday night.
I don't care.
No.
What's your take there? Did you like it more on the weekend?
I did. When I was a kid growing up, I liked it on the weekends, but I don't hate Thursday night primetime first round. Makes it more exciting.
There was too much sports going on at one time there, dude. I was flipping between the draft, I can't remember which NBA game it was, and hockey. And they were all good. It was the most exciting NFL draft I've ever watched. Mostly because the guys, you know how they have, four guys up there on the stage thing talking about every pick and kind of like talking about once a guy gets drafted, they go over his highlight reel and talk about him as a player. And then before the next pick, they're talking about what that team needs.
Yeah.
They were wrong like 98% of the time.
I mean, which broadcast were you watching, ESPN or NFL Network?
NFL Network, I believe.
Okay.
I didn't realize there were two separate broadcasts. What was there?
I mean, different guys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
NFL Network has their own people, like Eisen.
I think that's what I was watching.
Okay.
But yeah, they kept guessing wrong. Yeah. Like, that made it so much more entertaining for me.
The story of the evening, on the first round anyway, was the Chicago trade.
Yeah, okay.
They got absolutely swindled by the 49ers.
By themselves?
Yeah, I don't even know if the 49ers had to sell them that hard.
No.
They just bit.
So, if you are unaware, the Bears had the third slot, the Niners had the second, and they wanted Mitch Trubisky. So, they traded up one slot, and they gave up...
Everything.
They gave up two... Well, they switched spots with the 49ers, and they gave up two-thirds and a fourth?
That sounds right.
Yeah, two-thirds and a fourth. One of the thirds was for next year's draft, I believe. But still, that two-thirds and a fourth.
To move up one spot.
To move up one spot for Mitch Trubisky.
Even though
the 49ers had no intention of drafting Trubisky.
The Niners got their guy.
And they got who they wanted.
They got Solomon Thomas.
So the Niners absolutely came out
on top. So John Lynch, first-year GM, looking good.
I'm trying to imagine how that phone call went for the Niners. Like, they were like, all right, these idiots... They want to give us all this shit, and we're still going to get
the holding
their
hand over the mouthpiece.
Getting the same guy they were going to get anyway.
This is the same team, too, that just paid Mike Glennon, like, big-time starting quarterback money. $18 million.
Dude.
Unbelievable.
And apparently John Fox wasn't aware of the Mitch Trubisky pick
until a couple hours before. Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Which is not a good indication that he's going to be your coach for very long.
Also, and this has been explained to me by a member of the NFL community who is a listener and will remain anonymous. Apparently, there's very little communication between, like, you know, the guys making draft picks and the PR media side of a team. And the Bears had invited Mike Glennon to one of their draft party events. So he's at the draft party event, like, hey, I'm the future of the franchise, quarterback of the future, woo! And they draft Trubisky with the second pick in the draft after trading away, basically giving away the keys to the
Glennon's
front
office. Mortgage their house to do in order to
no,
do
he's
it.
Not
Glennon's
old.
Like 27.
This was supposed to be his shot.
Yeah.
And it turns out that might not necessarily be the case.
Because he didn't have a bad rookie year. They just brought in Jameis Winston.
I'm just trying to imagine how that feels as a guy at the draft party, maybe even got a beer in your hand. You know, you're pumped. You're hanging with the fans. And then they
maybe get a few
draft somebody to replace you.
Yeah, that's a mood killer. Yeah. It's like, I'm leaving. I'm leaving the party.
Maybe Chicago's going to draft a few weapons for me. We'll see what I'm going to get.
You just set the three-fourths full beer down and you walk out.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the move.
Another big story from this, though, is did you see the Buffalo Bills fired their GM the day after the draft?
What?
Yeah, so they didn't like the way it went.
That or this guy just had no insight or
right.
He had no clout in these picks. Or he just had a terrible draft and they're like, you know what, you're gone.
You're done. Thank you for the effort, but you're done. The Texans made a big move and went and got Deshaun Watson. The only reason this is super interesting, obviously, look, come on. They got a quarterback in the first round. When's the last time a quarterback in the first round panned out? It doesn't happen often.
It happens a lot. I don't know why you guys keep... Like, last week, Dylan was saying that I would never pick a quarterback or a running back in the first or second round.
Name a quarterback from the first round who did well, besides Peyton Manning, besides...
All right, let's go. If you go through the entire league, most of those guys are first-round picks.
Most of them suck, though.
No.
Like none of the top-tier quarterbacks were drafted in the first round.
That's not true.
Was Aaron Rodgers drafted in the first
round? Aaron Rodgers was a first-round pick, yeah.
The end of the first. End of the first.
He's like 21st, yeah.
Okay. So there's one.
Well, the reason I said that is because it's so hit or miss. For every hit, there are three misses.
Unlikely. It's statistically
you're
unlikely.
You're not going
to invest so much money up front into someone who's a hit or miss prospect.
That's the
problem. I would never do that.
But now how the NFL draft is established with like how much money you give per pick, like you don't have to pay. You don't need to pay the Sam Bradford money or Stafford money as soon as you draft them. There's like a set amount of money that person is going
to
get paid.
Yeah, it's still not the most as bad.
It's
as
still
it used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But true. I'm just saying like. Most of the franchise guys aren't guys like Tom Brady that you're getting in the sixth round or Dak Prescott in the
fourth
round.
No. I'm just saying it's with the way we've seen teams like Dallas be able to build from the offensive line, it makes more sense to me to use your early round picks on sure things.
I think you need your guy. Like your quarterback is the most important position in sports. If you believe that guy's your guy, like you get him.
No, I agree with that too. That's the problem. At this point, it would be impossible for me to argue that the Texans shouldn't have do what they did. I love that they did what they did, because I am psyched about Deshaun Watson, and even the prospect of him working out is worth it to me because we've never had a quarterback. If they truly believe in him, I don't give a fuck how much we gave up. And it turns out, if you look at this mathematically. On paper, what went down is we traded Brock Osweiler and like four picks for Deshaun Watson. That's what happened. And it's a lot to have given up. But what are you going to do, you know? What, are you just going to roll Brock Osweiler back out there? Fuck no.
The thing is, though, he's in a good situation.
Who is?
Deshaun Watson. Like, he is set up to succeed because the Texans are a good team.
They are like, a good team. They've got
a reason most of these first round picks that don't pan out that are quarterbacks is because they go to Cleveland or they go to these places that they don't have the
because they go to Cleveland.
It's because they go to Cleveland or they just go to these losing franchises that don't have the pieces around
them. And Dan, me saying that about not choosing a quarterback or running back in the first two rounds, it more applies to running backs. I think they're a dime a dozen in the NFL. They have a short shelf life.
That makes more sense.
The difference between a tier one and a tier three running back in the NFL is not that big.
Well,
you can plug an average NFL running back into the Dallas offense and he's gonna get, you know, 1,200 yards.
Yeah. No, I mean we touched on that shit last week and it's like I think you'd have a hard time finding a running back on an NFL roster right now who couldn't run behind like the Cowboys offensive line, for example. Who couldn't do a decent job. Like,
he's still getting over 1,000 yards.
Like what I say, I could get like 46 yards or something like that.
I said 62.
62.
And then I said I would die after that. But I'm just saying, I think anybody could go in there and find a hole behind like the Cowboys offensive line.
Right,
sure.
You could drive trucks through those holes.
Sure, it makes a big difference to have a guy who's legit good outside of that. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't, and we didn't see many running backs get taken in the first round. We saw a fuckload of quarterbacks compared
to
normal.
I mean,
though.
We got Fournette and McCaffrey.
Oh yeah, but Fournette's like,
and McCaffrey's kind of not a true running back.
He's McCaffrey, more of like a do-it-all guy.
No, yeah, he's not going to play.
He's a slot guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they use him. Also, I won every bet I placed on this fucking draft, which was just, I don't know what I'm doing. You know,
no.
I was just picking at random to make it interesting so that I could watch some of it. I had like McCaffrey under 10.5. I think he got drafted 8.
Do you have
seven.
Mahomes going top 10?
No, I didn't have any bets on Mahomes. I don't remember, man. It was too long ago, but I won all of them. Just take my word for it. Any other interesting things from the draft? I just thought it was fun, though. And I'm talking specifically about the first round. I don't fuck with the second round.
First
round's
a lot of
fun.
I
do not care. Like, I follow who my team gets, obviously, and I even follow who teams that I care. Like, the Cowboys, you know, I saw some of the guys they drafted and see all that on Twitter, but I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, it's like Bill Burr says. It's more or less like a high school graduation roll call.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you have no idea who these people are.
It is funny that Chad Kelly was...
So fitting.
Mr. Irrelevant?
Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. Dude, the fucking photo of him, it was a screen cap from a video, but they, you know, they've got a camera in his living room or whatever, and they fucking go to Chad Kelly, and he's like slumped over on his couch
asleep.
With a blanket over him, like, he just looks so miserable.
How does like his mom or whoever sitting next to him just like not poke him and like, hey, you're on camera.
Like, there's only like one other person in the room, and she's like disinterested too, and yeah, doesn't the red light come on, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, sit up, dude.
Or like a producer's like, hey, we're going live to you.
Yeah,
like
come on.
30.
Like, there's got to be something there. Anyway.
Thing is, though, I can see Chad Kelly being successful with the Broncos. I don't think he's going to be irrelevant. He could be a serviceable quarterback. He could be like a Jake Plummer type.
Jake the Snake?
Jake
that's
the Snake.
So insulting, though. I think he could be serviceable, like a Jake Plummer type. Wow. Really put a ceiling on him there.
Hey, man, Jake Plummer is an American hero now, playing on the U.S. handball team. So,
is that so?
Yeah.
Well, there's your ceiling, Chad. Major League Baseball. So does anybody know exactly what went down with Mikado, the Red Sox?
Manny Machado.
Machado.
I mean, there's been a
racism.
Lot going on with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
No. It was Adam Jones.
Like a week or two.
Adam Jones.
Adam Jones and
the Machado deal?
The Machado deal is getting thrown at, right? He was pissed off.
Well, a week
him.
Or two ago, he came in high on a slide to at Pedroia and kind of he caught him with the cleats
he
a little
clipped
bit.
Clipped him.
And so they've been trying to plug him ever since. And they keep throwing at his head,
they threw
behind
his head,
back.
They threw at his knee yesterday.
Don't throw at a man's head.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Dude, realistic. Well, he made a good point. When he flipped out post-game, he was like, look, if they're going to let these guys go up there and throw baseballs at me 100 miles an hour, like, I've got a fucking bat in my hands. If I wanted to, I could go mash somebody.
He dropped like 15 F-bombs.
Oh, yeah. He dropped more F-bombs than I've ever heard in any sports.
The unwritten
interview.
Rules of baseball are one of my favorite things in sports. They're amazing. They're great. They're, you know, so rich in tradition.
Like legitimately? Like, you actually like those?
Oh, I love them.
No.
If you, yeah, retaliation by way of plugging someone when they get up to bat is great. But you do not throw at a man's head. You just don't do it. That's how you fuck up someone's career.
Right. Well, he was vehemently denying any ill will during that slide.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the slide, so I don't know.
Even he and Pedroia kind of reached an understanding. After Machado, who it was, someone threw it behind his head, and he stepped back and like looked at Pedroia, and he was like, dude, that wasn't me. I wouldn't, you know, I would never. Micah, that's just distracting, man, because no one. Okay, Micah's playing it on. You're not going to be able to see this, but it's distracting
right.
us.
And he tries to, like, grab. That's weird. How he goes to, like, catch him. He, like, kind of, like.
Anyway, he and Pedroia kind of reached an understanding.
Nut taps him.
Okay,
that
so
it wasn't, like, hey. Everything's good.
But they're still throwing at
and
him.
They're
every
still
time
trying
he gets
to throw
up
at
there.
The man.
Yeah,
and
he flipped out.
To be fair, he is a hothead. He's kind of an ass.
Sure. But you don't throw. I just. It's a weird thing in baseball that I hope we don't lose, but it feels like that's one of those things that'll be gone in the next 5-10 years. Like, throwing a very hard object at somebody's head at 100 miles an hour is dangerous.
Back to the unwritten rule thing. I don't think this should qualify as. you know, necessitate throwing at someone. Like that slide wasn't that bad.
So what does qualify? Because if not that, then what?
If you pimp a home run, for example.
No, I don't agree.
Someone on your team needs
to
get
thrown at. I love pimping home runs.
I do too. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if you do it, someone on your team needs to get hit.
See, I'd say I think the reverse. I think the pimping the home runs is incredible for the sport, and it's so fucking entertaining for the fans that...
Oh, I don't think it should go away, but I think it deserves a hit.
That somebody gets thrown at?
Someone needs to wear one in the ribcage.
If you hit a home run and don't pimp it, you are a fucking boring person.
Well, you gotta it's gotta be 10 rows deep at least.
I disagree. I think if it even has a chance to go out, you pimp it.
And then, if it's like warning track power, you just pop it up.
Yeah, you pimp it.
It's still in the infield. You just kind of like bat flip that.
What Bautista did to the Rangers a couple years ago. That he needs to get hit every time he's at the bat.
For the rest of his career. Yeah, no, but if you take out my fucking shortstop or my second baseman, I think you need to get thrown at. But
I do too. I don't think that slide was bad enough to qualify, is what I'm saying.
If you apologize publicly and energetically deny that you had any ill will, that it was an accident, like, I'm sorry, I fucked up, like, I pulled up a little bit, I shouldn't have, whatever, then it's over. I don't think you throw at a guy anymore after that. Like, yeah, that's what you need.
If there's intent or not.
If there's no apology, then you throw at him. That's the way I see it, but I don't know. It just, he did flip out, though. The interview, look it up. Watch the video if you haven't, because he does drop probably 15, 20 F-bombs.
And then last night,
protocol.
Last night, Red Sox fans gave Adam Jones a standing ovation.
So, okay, let's talk about what happened, though. Adam Jones went out, two nights ago?
Yeah.
And got called the N-word.
A bunch, got peanuts thrown at
him. Yeah, they're throwing shit at
him. I think
they,
like, ended up tossing, like, 30 people.
It was a bunch of racist Boston Red Sox fans, which, first of all, come on, let's see. Nobody's surprised that there's racists in Boston. It's like...
It's a hotbed.
It's a problem
racism
there. It really bugs me that... You know, I mean, we're in Texas. We're in Austin, Texas. I'm from Houston, Texas. So your whole life, watching here, just as an example, Family Guy. You watch Family Guy, and they'll throw out a joke about, like, Texas being racist or dangerous for black people or whatever. And it's all in good fun. I get it. It's a joke. It's Family Guy. But, like, it bugs me that in Texas or the South or whatever, that we get lumped in with all that shit. And that we're considered the most, like, more racist and more dangerous for minorities. Like, Boston is racist as fuck, and they don't catch very much heat for it.
Yeah, it's the southern, you know,
I hate that, man.
It's kind of, I mean,
Confederate.
As a guy from the Northeast, I can probably confirm that, yeah, like, the entire Northeast is more or less, maybe, you can make an argument, maybe more racist than the entire South.
Weird, well, no, don't say that. Because there's areas
there
in the South Dam,
Georgia and Alabama that you just don't want to go to.
We're not going to talk about because I don't want to get lumped in with anybody that they hate.
Right,
but I'm just saying that, like, it. Let's not pretend that there's like more. There's racism everywhere.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. But like not people I would associate myself with anymore. But I remember like if I was to go to like a baseball game with kids I went to high school with or like middle school with or whatever, I could definitely see this, like, these guys having a few beers like in them and just doing the same thing that these kids from Boston are accused of.
Were they kids?
Guys, grown men.
It is a grown, you know, 35-year-old racist regular dude. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, come on, I've seen, what's the movie that Ben Stiller who's Ben Stiller's boy? Not Ben Stiller, Ben Affleck. Man, I am just a little
Matt Damon?
Off. Ben Affleck Matt and Matt Damon. What's that movie called?
Like the first movie they made?
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking... Anybody? Somebody?
Yeah.
Save me.
Like the movie where he plays a genius janitor?
Yeah. It's called...
Good Will Hunting?
Good Will Hunting. There we go. I've seen Good Will Hunting. I know how these Boston people roll. I know what's going on out there in the streets of Boston. In you know, lower class white Boston. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's in Northeast, you kind of... you kind of stay to your own. It's kind of segregated.
Well, what I'm saying is don't look down on us down here, Northeast. Don't fucking judge us like you don't have it going on up there with this shit that we see now in the middle of a sports game.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
So yeah, they gave fucking him a standing pussy. Ovation last night. Like that was gonna end racism.
Yeah, I was gonna like, oh, sorry for throwing peanuts at you.
Yeah, sorry we called you the N-word repeatedly.
The thing is too, after that game, he's like, I don't want you to applaud me. I want you to boo me. I want you to treat this like a regular Red Sox Orioles game, and they ended up cheering for him.
Yeah.
So they went against what his wishes.
Like, please just, I'm just like everyone else, goddammit. That's kind of the point.
He didn't acknowledge the cheers either. He just went about his business. And
yeah.
Because you don't acknowledge, what are you going to do? Turn around and tip your hat? It's not like that. Fuck that, dude. Anyway, what a mess. But it looks bad.
Well, yeah. But they're starting, like, Boston has that rep of being racist, kind of the way Philadelphia has that rep for being just, like, terrible fans that will, like, throw batteries at you.
Yeah.
Like, obviously,
and boo Santa Claus.
Yeah, and boo Santa Claus and whatever.
Philly did a great job hosting the draft, by the way, the NFL draft.
Yeah,
I thought it was hilarious.
200,000 strong.
I liked Goodell goading the crowd.
Oh well, the best part about the draft was Goodell, in order to not get fired or not get booed, would bring out like kids with cancer.
Dude, that clip of him like wiping his nose and then wiping it on that girl with one leg's back is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Has no self-awareness at all. But and then what was the Cowboys legend they brought out?
Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson did some good.
He was ribbing the Eagles fans.
Yeah good heel turn there.
That was good.
Anyway, but Philly. I respect Philly a lot.
Yeah, Philly needs to own their rep. Like obviously, it's the 0.0001% of fans that are like that. But I mean, if people are gonna associate you with that, you might as well own it. You can't really do that with racism.
No. No, that you could do that with being, you know, just all around bad people, like well-rounded shitty people. Like that's what Philly is. They've just got well-rounded shitty fans.
We're just shitty to everybody. Yeah,
just shitty to everybody.
Equal opportunity.
Black, white,
shitty.
Hispanic, Santa, doesn't matter. Woman, children, they'll throw batteries at you. But yeah, you can't own racism as your thing. Which is very clearly what happened in this case. Like, this is a group of people who are trying to, like, they probably all fed into each other and thought that it was cool to heckle this guy with racism. You can't do that.
Yeah, if that happens to you, though, and there's a guy next to you that's just, like, dropping N-bombs and screaming in front of kids and, like, doing all this, do you say something to him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or you gotta at least have to. You gotta at least get an usher, right?
I think you say one thing.
I give him a, come on,
you
man.
Give him a, come on, dude, are you serious?
Come on, man.
If he continues, that's when you have to walk away, go get an usher, and then not return back to that section because you don't want to be a part of that shit. You don't want to be on TV next to that shit. You don't want to be on camera next to that shit. And if you can't turn it into a violent confrontation because then you're the one that's getting in trouble, you just have to leave.
Especially if he's bigger.
Especially if he's bigger. Now, if he's smaller, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. You know, maybe pick him up and toss him down onto the field. Let him deal with that shit himself, you know? Anyway. Apparently, we have no time for hotline calls this week. We talked too much about sports.
We'll save them.
We do have a hotline, though. It's 800-392-6344. So if you have a question or want to sing a song or a sports take or you have a question about sports or whatever, call us. 800-392-6344 is the number. We play the best calls every week except this week because we talked too much. But that's it. You have shouts?
Yeah. Shouts to Howie Roseman. I thought the Eagles had a pretty good draft. Excited to have Humphrey. He's going to be our next Brian Westbrook.
So you enjoyed the Eagles draft?
I did.
Good. Good. Shouts to Deshaun Watson's mom. She had a new Jaguar. Did you see that car he bought her?
For her.
It's pretty sweet.
I have no shouts.
Shouts to Brian Anderson for actually making some three-pointers. Paying him like $20 million, it's important that you make shots.
Oh, and shouts to hockey. We didn't get to you this week, but maybe next week.
Dude, I've been loving hockey.
Yeah.
I did bet on Mia's Washington Capitals again, and they lost again.
Well,
I'm 0-4 betting Caps games.
That series now 2-1, and there's hope because Crosby has a concussion. So.
Oh, he's concussed?
He's concussed, and he has concussion problems, so who knows what the time frame is for
his
return. His
brain is mush.
Yeah, his brain is, like, in 20 years, Crosby is not going to be able to, like, feed himself.
Probably not.
No.
Dude, hockey's so crazy. I love watching the playoffs, but I don't know how hockey fans that are emotionally invested do it. I'm only financially invested, and I can't. I feel like every game goes into overtime. I don't know how goalies do it. I just don't get it. Because you're giant. You're taking up most of the goal, and these guys are still finding ways to squeeze it into, like, tiny corners and shit.
They're snipers.
They're good.
Yeah.
They is good.
They've been doing it their whole life.
Yeah.
But no, it's crazy, though, how football has, like, this whole concussion thing going on where it's just, like, they're constantly right. looking out and for the players' protection. But I feel like Crosby's sitting out for a concussion. Everyone's calling him a bitch. Like,
right. Dude, that's what I love about hockey, man. We're, like 40 years behind.
Yeah,
the rest
it's
of the
a
world.
Brain injury.
Yeah. Yeah. His brain is hurt. It's an important part of your body. All right, we're out of here. Follow us on Twitter, at Backdoor Cover. Follow Dylan at D Shiverer. Follow Dan at Dan _ Regester. Follow me at WR Bolin. Follow Micah at
Michael
I don't know
Wiener.
which account is real.
At Micah Wiener.
Micah, you don't need to talk.
No, Micah, you don't need to talk.
At producer Micah. Wiener. I just got an email from Twitter this morning saying I am not verified, so fuck you, Twitter.
Okay.
It's too bad.
That's his thoughts. I don't say fuck you, Twitter. No.
I would never. Twitter's the best.
Go Rockets. Rockets in six.